From Altoona to Westchester, Warren to York, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, despite the fact the adverse side effects of past shutdowns were worse than the disease, Governor Tom Wolf is once again issuing restrictive orders. David Taylor and our Capitol Watch crew are here to take a look at the latest developments. And Governor Wolf continues to wage war on Pennsylvania businesses, this time denying them vital liability protection needed for many to reopen. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capitol Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first we have news headlines from patownhall.com. Pennsylvania courts again top the list of state judicial systems that award excessive compensation in liability cases. The dubious distinction is compiled annually by the American Tort Reform Association and points to a string of pro-plaintiff decisions issued by the state Supreme Court and the longstanding reputation for big city courts to welcome venue shopping and to grant exorbitant awards. Kurt Schroeder, executive director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform, said carefully considered policies and legislation aimed at protecting the healthcare system and small businesses have gone by the wayside, increasing uncertainty and risk for those engaged in providing a wide range of goods and services. Governor Tom Wolf continues to ramp up onerous restrictions on business activity due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. This despite the fact Pennsylvania already is one of the most restrictive states in the nation. WalletHub compared the 50 states and the District of Columbia based on 17 key metrics to determine which have the fewest coronavirus restrictions. South Dakota, Iowa, and Utah have the fewest restrictions, but Pennsylvania ranked 42nd on the list, having more draconian restrictions than even hard-hit states like New York and Connecticut. Hawaii and California have the harshest restrictions in the nation. The Commonwealth Foundation reports that Governor Tom Wolf and lawmakers used a, quote, shadowy process to bury $120 million in earmarks in the new state budget. That is double last year's total and triple the cost of 2018. Earmarks are funds designated to pay for special projects in individual legislator districts and are often handed out based on political considerations rather than actual merit. Nathan Benefield of the Commonwealth Foundation reacted, saying, quote, "It is baffling to see lawmakers spend the people's tax dollars in such a stealthy manner while families and communities are struggling with the economic pain caused by the pandemic," end quote. A complete report can be found at commonwealthfoundation.org. And you can read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. With a number of COVID-19 cases surging, Governor Tom Wolf is returning Pennsylvania to the failed shutdown policies of last spring. Our Capitol Watch crew is here with an update. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Matthew Briette from the Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs and Rebecca Euler from the National Federation of Independent Business. David?
And welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capitol Watch All-Stars, Matt Briette, CEO, Commonwealth Partner, Chamber of Entrepreneurs. Matt, great to see you.
Good to see you, David.
And Rebecca Euler, Legislative Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Great to be back again. Thanks, David.
Well, it's great to be together. And of course, Pennsylvania continues to face challenging times with the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic that continues. And of course, we just recently got the news that His Excellency the Governor Tom Wolf himself has come down with the bug. And of course, we wish him a quick recovery. Hopefully he has a mild case of this darn thing. But, it calls into question. I mean, the thing that bugs me a lot about this is that there's been sort of a social stigma that people like to toss around, that somehow anybody who gets sick somehow has committed a moral failing, yeah. like you didn't work hard enough to try to avoid it. And so, well, what does that say about the governor?
Well, I think that that's exactly what this governor was communicating earlier this week before he tested positive, really chastising Pennsylvanians for failing to stop the spread and threatening that we're likely to see more draconian measures of destroying small businesses and shutting down restaurants. And lo and behold, here the guy who is telling us that we need to stop the spread, well, he apparently got it somehow, some way, that it's either he's been hypocritical about the things to mitigate the spread of corona, or this really just shows that this virus isn't going to be controlled. It's going to run through communities. People are going to get it. Obviously, we would love to see a vaccine for the most vulnerable. But at the same time, we know that 99.5% of people will survive. That, yes, there are those who will not. And that's the reality of living life. I mean, that's, Ben Franklin, once again, the only two guarantees in life are death and taxes. And yes. That's the reality of living life.
In life, there are trade-offs to everything. There are trade-offs to everything.
Right. And I really like Matt's analogy or mentioning of death and taxes, because we are dealing with, you know, a really important and problematic health issue. But you brought up taxes. The economy has suffered immensely as a result of the executive actions of this governor, and tax revenues at the state are down quite a bit. So we're going to have to deal with that. And, you know, I wish some thought had gone into the total harm minimization, you know, that we talk about when it comes to taxes as well, because we're going to have to deal with that lack of revenue.
Indeed. And part of that is that because of, the lack of revenue is because we are shutting down people's livelihoods.
Right.
With the, you know, stated goal of saving people's lives. But we also know that there have been plenty of evidence showing the impact on people's lives by destroying their livelihoods.
Right. Exactly.
And the isolation. And I know this, fortunately I've got kids at home and my wife, we have plenty of interaction, but I have employees that are single that have had everything taken away from them. And that isolation exacts a cost
yes.
to it.
And this is why we hear reports from the county coroners about increases in suicide and overdose.
That's right.
and other, you know, harmful behaviors that are brought on by desperation. And so, and in the same way, you know, when we close down all non-emergency, non-COVID treatments at hospitals, people are missing out on their cancer screenings. People are missing out on their checkups. People are missing out on, updates with their physicians about ongoing conditions that are being, that they need treated. And so, and this was, you know, going back to earlier this year, that our hospitals, the harm to our hospitals wasn't that they were overloaded with
yeah.
COVID patients. The problem with the hospital was that they were losing all of their income streams that were keeping the institution going because they were no longer allowed to treat non-COVID patients.
Well, you know, David, what's interesting is that the governor has been saying, look, our hospitals are threatened right now, that we may overwhelm them. But this has always been the case. And this is what's interesting is that because we have so focused on COVID and its impact, and rightly so, right? Because this is novel. We don't
yes.
fully understand it. But somebody pointed out that just 2 years ago, we were in this very same situation because of a severe flu. And honestly, hospitals have to operate at 80-90% full all the time. Otherwise, they can't function.
Correct.
They don't have enough revenue sources. So the idea that we're in a situation that we've never been in before, we haven't had hospital beds filling up from this or that, is not the the full story. And that's why, you know, context is so important. And we're not giving full context to all of these things. I mean, one example is, you know, there's a meme going around showing, you know, this happened with Pearl Harbor Day, right, to December 7th, and how many lives were lost, and somebody putting in, well, here's how many were lost from COVID. And of course, ignoring that, you know what, every day in America, I think 7,500, 8,000 people die every single day in America.
Babies are born every day.
That's right. And this is just, you know, it's what happens when you don't put things into context. And yes, every death, and it affects somebody. But that's the reality. That's, again, if you're living, you're headed towards dying.
Yes.
That's the only guarantee.
And it also, I think it speaks to the way that some people on the left who like worship the state as a living God, they seem to believe that the state can give you immortality.
Yeah.
And again, this is just complete nonsense. And, you know, that there, you know, sadly, there are trade-offs to everything. And that, yes, all of us who are, you know, here in this mortal plane, that we will someday, you know, return to the God who made us. It's like there's no stopping that.
Yeah. And lest anyone think that we are, you know, suggesting we shouldn't take these things seriously, we absolutely should. I mean, I'm getting ready to go be with my parents who are in their 80s. And I'm going to do everything I can to protect them. My mom has respiratory issues, so I'm going to be very, very concerned.
Yes, sir.
But my mom would be the first one to say, don't stop living. I mean, mm-hmm. She's ready to continue living, saying, you know what? And if it's my time, it's my time, whether it's going to be COVID or falling down a stair, right? I mean,
correct.
This is about living. And so we have to keep it all in balance and take the precautions that we need for those that we care for, those who are vulnerable, as we always should. That's
correct.
Not, I mean, this isn't
correct.
You know, while this is a new virus and it's impacting our lives very differently today, you know, maybe that's one of the good things that comes out of this is that people are taking precautions if they have health issues, or that we're more hygienic, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm probably not touching my face as much as
yes.
I used to,
yes.
or I'm,
yes.
and I'm washing my hands more. That's all good.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from NFIB Pennsylvania and Matt Briette from Commonwealth Partners.
One thing I think we should sort of keep things in perspective, like you said, thinking about this pandemic compared to previous pandemics, which seem to happen, you know, at least once a century or so in the human population. And I think we're missing this year. We need to recognize the amazing progress that we've had in healthcare and in the treatment of this pandemic, which has far surpassed our ability to treat any pandemic or any severe illness like this in the past. We had a record-setting development of vaccinations. We've had more treatment options developed this year than, you know, anybody could have possibly imagined, you know, even just, you know, 9 months ago. I think that's an amazing testament to the success of the private sector and the success of healthcare here in the United States. And I think we got to keep that in mind.
Absolutely, Rebecca. And one of the unsung heroes is a regular media villain, which is America's major pharmaceutical manufacturers, that it is only because we have these large, well-funded entities that they're able to continue to keep that miracle factory churning and to come up with a faster miracle when circumstances require, which sort of brings me back to one of the things that Governor Wolf has done that is directly and specifically damaging to Pennsylvania and how well we come back from the pandemic, which is that one of the dangers that our businesses face, and not just our businesses, the entire productive sector, is the danger of frivolous lawsuits. And because, again, the infection is everywhere, even people who presumably, like Governor Wolf, have done everything that they could to not get the illness, that they got it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so this is why the General Assembly passed legislation that would provide limited temporary safe harbor on lawsuits for those entities that are abiding by CDC and Department of Health practices and can prove that they're doing that, that there's a presumption that whoever got sick didn't get sick from them. And that, you know, Governor Wolf could have enacted this just by fiat through an executive order, but didn't, and made us wait all these months. We've been begging for this since March.
Yeah.
And finally, the legislature acts. We get it to the governor, and he vetoed it. He vetoed it. Governors in other states have enacted this, including Democrat governors like the lady in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the business community and the healthcare community that wanted this. The YWCA and YMCAs were for this. The
Public
United
School
Way,
districts, yes.
The independent colleges and universities, the Farm Bureau, like everybody was asking for this, and the only entity that was against it was the litigation industry, the ambulance chasers.
Well,
and it's
because,
just shame on him.
Yeah, it really is, and this is going to hinder, I think, Pennsylvania's recovery because you will see business owners and employers gun-shy because of this threat. Essentially what Tom Wolf said, by vetoing, it's almost worse than if it were not addressed at all, that he gave a pass to the trial lawyers to pursue this kind of litigation, saying, no, we're not going to thwart you here, but open the door wide open.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is, because we know small businesses are suffering just the most of just about anybody right now. They're really struggling to keep things together. And one lawsuit can be what makes a difference whether or not they can keep their doors open. So the veto of this bill, which, like you said, was supported across the board, not just by businesses, but a lot of nonprofits and other organizations, it was almost like twisting the knife that's already in the small business owner's back. Because, like I said, one lawsuit or even the threat of a lawsuit could do it. And like you said, Matt, that he really did open the floodgates to these lawsuits. And it's going to be tragic because we've already seen a lot of small business closures. And I think we're going to see even more next year, unfortunately.
Well, in a way, it doesn't surprise me because the trial lawyers spent millions of dollars in this last election and frankly got smoked. They could not flip the legislature. They lost all of the races that they thought they could win. So they need to reload their coffers. And here's one way that Tom Wolf can help them.
Yeah. Mm. And because the litigation industry views the pandemic as a business opportunity.
Yes.
And just because the armies are massing and that the suits haven't been filed yet, there's a 2-year window. And so, you know, the onslaught is coming. And we just finished up the state budget, and there was a partial state budget. They finished the other half of it, and that the $3 billion of non-recurring revenue was used. We are in for a very bad time of it in the next fiscal year, and because of that, we need to do everything we can to see to it that the existing businesses survive. They've got to have that lifeline of revenue that comes from adding value and from satisfying customers. We can't write checks. We can't print money that ultimately there's no replacement for the actual value that's added by the private sector. And so when you do things like you disallow these, you know, safe harbor protections, good faith exemptions for people who are actually abiding by the rules and say, no, we're going to let you get sued anyway. More of these businesses are going to go bankrupt, or people are just going to quit and close their doors. And as a result, we won't get the economic activity, which means that that budgetary hole is going to be deeper. So, I mean,
compounds.
It
compounds.
It absolutely does.
And that's the really hard part, because when we destroy these businesses and the, you know, tax revenue generating entities, replacing them doesn't happen overnight.
Correct.
You don't just go back to 100%. And you're going to have people that are willing to risk their capital once again, put it on the line in a state that Governor Wolf said, we're more interested in the litigation industry than we are in growing industry. And that sends a message. And that's what's going to make Pennsylvania very difficult. If you've got mobile capital, you're looking at those states that have done more to stay open, have said, look, we're going to have mitigation efforts, but we're not going to destroy livelihoods in the process. We'll have that total harm minimization approach. And you're seeing that in other states. And frankly, I think we're going to see the flow of capital and people to those states.
Because again, Rebecca, in a free society with a free economy, all of these choices are voluntary.
Right. And it's up to the states, in this case, the state, to incentivize risk taking. Really, they need to encourage entrepreneurs to put money in their businesses, to start new businesses. And like Matt said, it's an assessment of the risk that goes into that decision making. And we're stacking the deck on the side of too much risk here in Pennsylvania. And this has just added to that, unfortunately, that calculation.
Well, and at the same time here, the governor only has, 26 months left in his tenure? Not that anybody's
Who's
counting. And
how many days and hours?
but it's you know, there will be another day after he is no longer the chief executive. And, you know, for those of us, you know, who are part of the productive sector, who care about Pennsylvania competitiveness, you know, we're going to be working with our allies to try to hold the line for.
But, David, this has long term effects, whether we look back to the 91 tax increase, that how long it's taken for recovery. And that's the challenge here, is that while he might be gone in 26 months, his legacy is going to be with us for a very, very long time.
You're done trying to cheer me up. yes.
Happy holidays.
That's painfully
David.
True. That's painfully, painfully true. And yet, you know, I mean, he can, you know, Governor Wolf can treat state government like a rental car. He doesn't care who had it before or who has it next, but he's going to drive the wheels off it while he's got it. You know, the real leaders need to take the long view, and how we get to a more prosperous Pennsylvania that competes with the high performing states like Indiana and North Carolina. And again, that battle continues. So we're coming down here to the end of the time that we have. Certainly, we want to wish everybody a very happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Festivus. And
for the rest of us. Yeah.
Yes, and going into what hopefully will be a better 2021. And anyway, it's always a privilege to get to be with you awesome people. So let's, as we're saying farewell to the listeners here, Matt, where can they go to learn more about you and your organization and the work that you do?
Go to thecommonwealthpartners.com.
Outstanding. And Rebecca, tell people about NFIB PA and where they can find more about you online.
Sure. NFIB is found at nfib.com/PA or at on Facebook or Twitter.
And as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org, also on Facebook and Twitter and all those other things. And also you can find us on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with our statewide half-hour program, PMA Perspective. So from Matt and Rebecca and me, thanks to all of you for listening. Happy holidays, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. Using the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse rather than as a reason, Governor Tom Wolf has engaged in a nearly year-long war on business in Pennsylvania. His policies have done more to destroy businesses and jobs than to destroy the coronavirus. Wolf's first volley came during the early days of the pandemic when, without consulting either the legislature or the state's business community, the governor abruptly ordered the closing of all but essential businesses. The administration then unleashed a tidal wave of confusion and contradiction over which businesses were essential, clear answers to which have yet to be provided. Making matters worse, allegations of political interference have arisen, suggesting certain businesses were deemed essential or given waivers based on connections rather than on actual function. Lame duck Auditor General Eugene D. Pasquale has supposedly been conducting an audit of the process, but focused instead on a failed bid for a mid-state congressional seat and has yet to provide definitive answers. Heading into the summer, Wolf continued to hammer businesses, especially the hospitality industry, with onerous restrictions on occupancy at bars and restaurants. The governor continued to claim his actions were based on science, but he has refused to honor right-to-know requests for that data, going so far as to fight in court the release of information. Many businesses have not attempted to reopen or have severely limited their activity due to concerns over lawsuits arising from the pandemic. For many, especially small businesses, the fear of following all precautionary recommendations But still being sued in the event a patron contracts the virus is an insurmountable roadblock to reopening. Ever-changing and frequently contradictory recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and the State Department of Health have further stoked fears of legal action. To protect businesses, the Pennsylvania General Assembly passed a targeted, temporary, and necessary response to the threat of frivolous lawsuits by Pennsylvania's litigation industry, which the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association points out views COVID-19 as a business opportunity. Governor Wolf vetoed the bill. According to PMA, the legislation would have, quote, protected the manufacturers that have retooled to meet the dire need for personal protective equipment and the medical professionals who are on the front lines of caring for COVID-19 patients. The liability protections included in the bill would have extended to Pennsylvania's small businesses, hospitals, nursing homes, schools, child care centers, universities, colleges, farms, and local governments, end quote. After paying lip service to the importance of family farms, Wolf vetoed a bill that specifically would have provided a lifeline to family farmers. The provision, sponsored by State Representative Barbara Gleim of Cumberland County, would have provided no-fault limited liability protections for farmers offering agritourism events, such as those corn mazes that pop up every fall. Many farm families depend on this supplemental income to remain financially viable. All of the above now remain at risk, and many remain closed because Governor Wolf chose to protect the litigation industry over them. The impact will be the permanent closing of many small and mid-sized businesses and a corresponding loss of jobs. Nationwide, the general public understands the importance of liability protections. The Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform, known as PCCJR, points to a survey conducted by the U.S. Chamber Institute for Legal Reform that shows 8 in 10 Americans believe that employers who follow the latest government health guidelines should be protected from COVID-19 lawsuits. Support for such measures cuts across partisan lines, with strong majorities of Democrats, Republicans, and independents agreeing that, except for gross negligence, such protection should be provided. In the wake of Governor Wolf's veto of this vital common sense protection for businesses, PCCJR's executive director, Kurt Schroeder, called upon Congress to pass what he termed, quote, timely, temporary, and targeted liability protections before the end of the year, end quote. Turning to Congress is sound strategy because since the beginning of the pandemic, Governor Tom Wolf has demonstrated a complete unwillingness to work with the state's business community. Worse, his every action has been to trample especially small businesses as his policies continue to kill more jobs than the virus kills people. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 25 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WGGY-FM and WGGI-FM in Pittston, WKQL-FM in Punxsutawney, along with WIYQ-AM and FM in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, and the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, all of whom have helped to underwrite the cost of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.
We'll be right back.